Good morning, everyone. This year is dedicated to the memory of my late father, Tzvi Meir ben Moshe Yonatan, Hareini Kaparat Mishkavo, as all the shirim I'm trying to give during the course of this year of mourning. I have to admit that the last few days have been a bit of a relief, simply because I'm not in mourning alone, or not in mourning with those that are saying Kaddish together with me, but rather all of the Jewish people are in mourning, and I don't say this, God forbid, with glee in my eyes, saying, oh great, I have a few partners, but rather because it happens to be, I would say, a bit of nechama, a bit of comfort, knowing that you're not alone. And indeed, on Tisha B'Av afternoon, as we get closer to the end of the day, we begin to talk about comfort. The fact that all the Jewish people fasted since the night before in the morning, and they said keynote, and they experienced tragedies together. As we get closer to Mincha, we're able to talk about Nachem Hashem Elokeinu, God, please give us comfort. And indeed, this particular prayer that's supposed to give us comfort throughout the years has been a cause of controversy, like many things in the Jewish people that are supposed to make us feel good, and they don't. Simply because the prayer happens to say a few things that, Baruch Hashem, are not that relevant anymore. And indeed, the fight goes on every year, at this time of the year. Namely, do and should we continue to say Nachem, like they did for generations? Simply because, if you look at the wording, it's no longer necessarily relevant. If you look at the top of the page, you'll see that it says explicitly, in the Nusach Ashkenaz, the Nusach of the Sfardim, as well as the Nusach in the Yerushalmi, in Tainis, the second chapter, the following words, and I quote, in the Yerushalmi it doesn't say Nachim but Rachim, small difference, God have mercy, and it says, and I quote, Vayerushalayim v'erechav shem shvang vodecha ve'ala ir, and on the city, ha'avila, in mourning. Okay, pretty good. Everyone's mourning. Haharusa, destroyed. Hashomeima.
Not true.
What?
It's not true.
Let's continue. I just said that. Haharusa, destroyed. Hashomeima, desolate. Hanetuna biyad zarim. That's in the hands, namely, it is under the sovereignty of foreign nations. True? Baruch Hashem, the year 2019, no. Let's go to the Nusach of the Sfardim. Etair hachareva, the city that is destroyed. Habezuya, it looks terrible. What's bazui mean? When you mevaze someone, it's like embarrassing to look at the great city of Yerushalayim. Look at the way it looks. Hashomeima, there's the word again. Desolate, no one lives there. Mibeli banea hi yoshevet, there is no children of the people of Israel sitting in it. Notice I didn't say Jews, I said people of Israel. So even if they're half Jews. Nusach of the Ashkenaz, Nusach Sfard, Ha'ir ha'avela ha'chareva b'zuya v'ashomima, ha'avela mi'beli banea, v'achareva b'menotea v'abzuya mi'chvoda v'ashomima me'en yoshev. So you can all understand that these words, Baruch Hashem, are not true, and the question every year rages, Amat mechadesh anything in this year. Should we continue saying it or not? Yeah.
So when they refer to the city, could it be that they're referring simply to the Ha'ibirah, the Temple Mount?
He says, okay, I'm going to say it, and now I'm going to farenfer, I'm going to explain why it's a good thing to say, and what it means is not exactly what it means. Bruce, that's 10 steps ahead. We're going slowly here. Mm-hmm. Now I'm a simple Jew. I looked at the art scroll, the Sensino. Oh no, Sensino's not in the city. Let's give everyone credit. The Koren, the art scroll, the Birnbaum, Philip Birnbaum, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. And they say, in English, the city is desolate. The city looks terrible. The city is awful. I don't know. I'm in the city, on Tisha B'Av. I'm looking around, a lot of Jews, under Jewish sovereignty. These words are not true. So just at the English translation level, Bruce, we're in trouble here. Why are we in trouble? So we say what it says in the Siddur. As we said, as Bruce introduced, is it the work of the heart or the work of the Siddur? So I'll tell you what, my heart's not there. My heart says the city's not destroyed, and the city's beautiful and wonderful. Maybe we should totally eradicate Tisha B'Av in the 3 weeks, no longer relevant. But you know what? Now I'm davening. Davening has nothing to do with life. So I go into my bubble, I put on an oxygen mask, and I daven like many Jews do. They daven, and they go out. What did you do there? I don't know. I said what it says in the Siddur. So Bruce, you can't do that. Why? Look at the pasuk in Tehillim. I'm sorry to quote Tehillim. I know Tehillim is not supposed to be quoted in a shir, because Tehillim is only to daven. But let's quote it anyway. We'll do, Bruce, you allow me? Mm-hmm. I'll be liberal today. Okay. No one should say afterwards that I called Bruce liberal. He's an Orthodox Jew, Baruch Hashem. It says in Tehillim, Lo yeshev bekerev beiti oseh rimiya. In my house should not sit anyone that is a liar, that lies, that does things dishonestly. Dover shkarim, one that says lies, this is already a different level. It's not just he's not truthful, he actually says untruths. Lo yekol negedai, I don't want him in front of me. So again, looking at the Birnbaum Art Scroll Koran, if you look at these words, it says, well, if I stand before God, I can't be a liar. So, Bruce, how can I say these words? Mi bali banea hi yoshevet, ha'ira avila, true, ha'chareva, ha'bzuya, shomema. Now, if you think, okay, a pasuk in Tehillim, don't bother me with the facts, it's just a pasuk in Tehillim, is this such an important thing halachically? It is. Masechet Sota, arba kitot enam mekablim pnei shechina. Four kinds of people cannot mekabel pnei shechina except the divine providence of God. And one of them is kat shkarim. Kat shkarim, says the Gemara in Sota, dichtiv, dover shkarim lo yikon leneged enai. Someone that's untruthful should not stand in front of me. So, we said verses that are no longer true. It says in Tehillim, don't say untruths. And the Gemara in Sota says, you cannot stand in front of the holy presence of God and not be truthful. And just, if you think, all right, a little drusha here, a little pasuk tehillim there, Rabbi, keep your drushas to Shabbos, don't bother me with the facts in a halachic shir, and the shir has to be halachic facts. Did anyone in the history of the Jewish people say, hey, this part of davening is no longer relevant, it's no longer truthful, I can't say it? Look at Masechet Yoma, Daf Samech Tet, Amud Bet. Lo nikra shma, lama nikra shman Anshei Knesset Agdola. We know that Anshei Knesset Agdola, they were the ones, they put the Siddur into, I would say, use. So these people, why were they called Anshei Knesset Agdola? Sheikh Ziru Atalbar Le Yoshna. So you thought Shas did it? No, not the Shas party. Masechet Yoma says that Anshei Knesset Agdola, they have the copyright on Hichziru Atara Liyoshna. They brought things back to the basics. They brought things back to the way it was. Why? Ata Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu came and said, Akel Agadola Gibor Ba'anara. Ata Yirmiya V'amar, comes Yirmiya and says, Nochrin Mikarkein Behechalo Ayeno Ra'atav. I don't understand. I'm looking at the Harabayit. And Yirmiyah Navi sees the destruction of the temple. And he says, non-Jews are now dancing where the temple used to destroy. This is Nora. This is the amazing great God. He's no longer great. Why? Because he allows non-Jews to take the holiest site of the Jewish people. Lo Mar Nora, so he no longer said Nora. Ata Daniel. Daniel, who was one of the... anyone? His name wasn't Dani. Daniel. One of the 24 books of Tanakh. Yeah, you know Tanakh? You heard of it? Yeah? Okay. So Daniel said, Nochri mishtabim b'fanav. The non-Jews are taking the Jews and they're making them into slaves. Ayeg v'rotav. Lomar gibor. Ata inu v'amru, but the Anshei Knesset Agdola said, Adarabba. What do you mean? Zoi gvurato. V'rat gvurato. Shekoveshet Yitzro. How do I know God is great? Because he allows these non-Jews to take the Jewish people into captivity. Shonoten erech apayim l'reshaim. V'ayehen na'oratav. She'ilmalei mora'o shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ha'eich u'ma'achat yichola l'yikayim ben ha'umot. Meaning God allows it to happen. So that's amazing. I'm a great, mighty God. And I sort of diminish my power to allow non-Jews to do what I said to do as a punishment for the Jewish people, whatever reasons God has. So thus, God is great. Why is God so great? Because God can have the ability to kill and to murder or to leave you alive, and he allows people their free bchira chofshi, their free freedom of choice. So he allows the non-Jews to take the Jews into captivity and maybe various things. Okay. V'rabanan hechi avdi achri v'aki takanta takanti Moshe. Just out of curiosity, Moshe Rabbeinu made a siddur. From our perspective, how did Daniel and Yirmiyah come along and say, not relevant anymore, Moshe Rabbeinu did it. What? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know? Says the Gemara, I'm a Rabbi Elazar. Yeah, in general, we don't touch the Siddur. In general, we don't touch things, and we don't start making changes. But this is different. Why? Because we just learned the pasuk in Tehillim, and we just learned you can't stay in front of God and not say truths. You can't say everything's great when everything's not great. Says the Gemara, Mitoch sheyodim HaKadosh Baruch Hu sha'amiti, who, translate, as we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is amiti,
truthful,
the vikach lo kisvubo, because God is the height of truth, you can't say lies in front of God. So Daniel and Yirmiyah couldn't stand in front of God and say, no ra and gibor, when they looked around and said, it's not the case. All right. So, and Sheikh Knesset Abdullah said, he is great. Just like Bruce earlier said, maybe it means harabayit. While Daniel and Yirmiyah said, in front of God, it's full truth. It's not a truth with a peirush Rashi. It's full truth. If you say great, it's great. Terrible is terrible. Okay, so anyone that's listening and says that everything that God does is wonderful can listen to the rest of the shir, but according to this Gemara, our religion, not everything God does is necessarily wonderful in our eyes. It may be wonderful for the future, but right now as I look at it, there's a dead body in front of me. Right now as I look at it, there's no Beis HaMikdash on Har HaBayit, and I have to call a spade a spade, and therefore you can't lie in front of God. So getting back to the beginning of the shir before I hear Mr. Weiser, how do we say the words? No longer truthful. We just learned the Gemara. In front of God, only truth. How do we continue to say these words? Rages on every year. No chidushim, I just want to put it into context. Mr. Weiser had a comment. Yeah, we'll get to it in a minute. That's the other side of the page, Mr. Weiser. Absolutely. So, just to let you know, this is not Grunstein in 2019 saying, hey, you know, maybe this is no longer relevant. We have to change it. Baruch Hashem, we got to this time. Shechiyanu v'kiyamanu. Many Gdolei Apostolim after the Six-Day War indeed brought it up. Rav Ovadia Yosef, he read Hachzirut HaTorah LeYoshna. He took it as his party slogan. Rav Ovadia Yosef, he wasn't just the head of the Shas party, he was also a great Gadol Yisrael, also. And he was a Rav Rashi, and he wrote endless, endless books, and one of them is his magnum opus, his responsum, called Yabia Omer. And I'm quoting this from Yechaveh Dad. Yechaveh Dad was not his responsum, this was his radio broadcast. Every Friday, I'll tell you how I found this out. Yechaveh Dad is a tshuva, in which he says that you've got to listen to Divrei Torah in the shower. I found that fascinating. So I always like to know the context. It turns out that Rav Ovadia Yosef on Friday afternoon, right before Shabbos, 2 or 3 hours before Shabbos, he gave a radio broadcast where they called him questions and he answered. And we have recordings of it. Now what are Jews doing 2 hours before Shabbos? Taking showers. So they wanted to know, when I'm in the shower, can I listen to Divrei Torah? So in Yechaveh Dad, which was his radio broadcasts, with a lot of mekoros afterwards, obviously, he said, "Harom lo higia ha'sha'a l'shanot ha'nusach shetiv l'tnachem, u'b'michad ma shomim al Yerushalayim, she'ino to'em et ha'mitziyut kayom." Shouldn't we change Nachem? After all, it's no longer the reality today. Rav Goren, no big surprise, Rav Goren, Harabayit b'yadeinu, Six-Day War, first person at the Kotel, says, "Ha'im lo'or kibush Yerushalayim v'har habayit, yesh tzorech l'shanot enusach tfilat nachim." Rav Chaim David Alevi, former chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, Sephardic chief rabbi, if your kids have the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Mekor Chaim, if you have to buy it when they go to school, that red book, that's his Kitzur Shulchan Aruch with his perish where he puts in the Sephardi minag, the Ashkenazi minag. He was a fascinating, amazing man. Rav Chaim David Alevi, chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, L'Sheavar, Zichron Levracha, "Hirgashti b'tisha b'av ha'rishon achem mechemet sheshet hayamim, she'ineni yachol yotel lomar b'tfilati dvarim eile." So he says, after the Six-Day War, I can no longer say these words. "Shehu b'chinat dovesh kreim lifnei Hashem, the pasuk in Tehillim." It's like lying before God. I'm saying words that are no longer relevant. And he goes on to say, "It's not just all year people come and they celebrate, they go to the Kotel, they go to Yerushalayim, Baruch Hashem." It says, on Tisha B'Av, Yom Av El Lumi, where are the Jews sitting on the floor? Amongst other places, in front of the Kotel. And even then he says, "Murgeshet pina misuyemet b'libi, eileha lo yachol lachdor ha'evil." Beautiful words. There's a certain part of my heart in which I'm no longer mourning, because here it is, Jewish sovereignty over Yerushalayim, including the old city, including the Kotel, Har HaBayit, in our sovereignty, but under the Wakf, but Pretty good. 200 years ago, we didn't get this far. For almost 2,000 years, we didn't get this far. He says, I can no longer mourn the way I used to. Ve'lachen ein safek sheyesh mishum dover shgayim lifnei Hashem. Ein safek, he already says, no doubt, these nachems on the top of the page, lie. Lying before God. Can't say it. Okay. So we understand the reality. We understand there's a problem to lie in front of God. We understand that Gdolei HaPoskim came up with it. But do we have a precedent in which we go to the Siddur, the Holy Machzer, translated by Philip Berenbaum, Koren, Art Scroll, take your pick, and just, you know, we change words as we feel fit? You know, my Brooklyn accent with my Brooklyn mind coming from Long Island decide, man, no longer relevant, whoosh, out. Sounds like other streams of Judaism, not the stream we're in. I'm glad to read your mind. Even though I didn't go to University of Illinois. So, your name again?
Jonathan. First,
Jonathan. Thank God I felt like Jonathan. Jonathan says, we don't touch the Holy Sitter. Well, guess what? We don't touch the Holy Sitter, but we can't lie in front of God. So take your pick. Either don't say Nachem, or say Nachem, but explain what you're doing. Do we have a precedent where we just don't say something? Let's look at the Bach. V'achacham inan b'roshel. If you're smart, what's a chacham? Mishnah Avot. Everyone learned Perkei Avot. Very powerful to learn, right? You have to know Shmira Chabad in there. You have to be a good person. The Perkei Avot says, Ezu chacham ha-ro'eh et ha-nolad. Who is smart? One who sees the future. So, says the Bach, you're on Yom Kippur, you should see the future. And therefore, ha-chacham inav ha-roshol le-ma'ed b'slichot u-psukim le-katzer b'nigunim. If you're a chazan on Yom Kippur, you should cut out the songs, you should cut out the psukim and the piyutim. Why? Kedei la-tchil tfilat ni'ila be'onata, so you can start ni'ila on time. So he'll say to me, why do you have to start ni'ila on time? So Jonathan's a Kohen, he'll say, because I have to duchen. So Jonathan from Chutzlar would say, we don't duchen at ni'ila, we don't got a problem. So Jonathan, this is not the problem with the Bach. He lived in Chutzlaritz. The Bach, buried in the Krakow Cemetery, the holy Bach. The Bach comes along and says, hey, we don't duchen. What's my problem with Ne'ilah not starting on time? In Ne'ilah, we talk about the fact that the sun's about to set. So says the Bach, how in God's name are you supposed to say the sun's about to set when the sun already set? I'll read it in his words. Sha'piyut b'ni'ilah morel kach sho'omer terem yavo ha-shemesh hayom yifneh ha-shemesh yavo yifneh navo ha-she'arecha. The day's about to finish. What do you mean about to finish? It's already shkia. The day the sun's about to set. The sun already set. We have this in the slichos too. Many times talk about we're standing in front of God at night. Broad daylight. We say b'motzei menucha k'damnucha tefillah. Motzei Shabbos, we came in front of you first. It's not Motzei Shabbos, it's Sunday morning. We're ready Sunday morning, no problem. Says the Bach, you're lying! On the holy Yom Kippur, you're lying! Va'omer kein balayla, and if you say it at night, first of all, bakashato plaster. You want to translate that? That's fancy rabbinic Hebrew. It's another way of saying, it's a prayer in vain. Vain means nothing. You're saying words that are irrelevant. Number two, this should bother us a little more. May I say words that are irrelevant? At least I said the Siddur. Philip Berenbaum, whatever it says there. Number two, Mechse Keshikra. It looks like a lie. Ba'omro, Varim Sheino Kain, Lifnei Amokom Baruch Hu, because you're not honest in front of God. Magen Avram, succinct. Ve'gam Yomar Harus Bahayom Yifneh, Kodem Ha'aref Shemesh, Te'im Lo Kain, Dovesh Kodem Lifnei Hashem. Number two, okay, Ni'ilah, there's a piyut. No, no. We just went through a fast day on Sunday. Hard fast day for us in this northern hemisphere. Long day. Down in Australia, New Zealand, short day. But for us, long day. Now, because it's a long day, and it's a nitche, and it's a Sunday, there's a lot of excuses there to maybe not finish the fast. So you start up in the morning, I'm going to fast. Maybe by 12 o'clock, you got your caffeine headache. By 2 o'clock, you got your migraine headache. Other people have other problems. So, the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Yeshomrim, some say, this is not a Sephardic minhag, but this is our Ashkenazi minhag, Yeshomrim. She'ena yachid omer aneinu ki'im b'mincha. We only say aneinu by mincha. Why not by shachris? Aneinu ayem ane Hashem aneinu b'yom tzom taniteinu is a fast day. No problem there, no lie. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Shema yachazenu bulmus b'nimtza shakran b'tfilato. Because maybe you won't finish the fast day. So how can you say, answer me on my fast day when you're not fasting? So by mincha, we assume, all right, you already see the horizon, you see the bagels. But by shacharis, not necessarily. So lying in front of God in prayer is a serious thing. Pasuk in Tehillim, Gemara in Sota, Yirmiyah Daniel changed the davening. The Bach warns us on Yom Kippur not to say words that are irrelevant. And the Shulchan Aruch Paskins with regard to Anenu, don't say fast day if you're not going to finish the fast. So this is a pretty serious thing. So, what do we do about our Nachim? The words there are clearly, Baruch Hashem, not relevant. If you turn the page, you'll see what Mr. Weiser referred to earlier. And that is, I brought here 6 different versions of Nachim since the Six-Day War. Each one with a little knetch, changing those words that are not relevant. Starting with Siddur HaMikdash. The Siddur HaMikdash, as you know, is the Siddur that has pictures of the Beis HaMikdash. You have Machzor HaMikdash, Siddur HaMikdash. So they sit in the old city, Machon HaMikdash. They obviously see, Baruch Hashem, all the miracles that God gave us. And they said, let's just now change the Nusach in the Yerushalmi that we said earlier, starting with Rachim, not Nachim. Instead of talking about Yerushalayim, what do they talk about here? Why is the city in mourning? So in the original it was because people are not in there. Well, the Jewish people are in there. What's happening now? He says, there's Ovdei Avodah Zarah in Yerushalayim. That's true.
You're talking about like the churches? And
the churches. Harabayit is not exactly a Jewish prayer, even though they pray to God. Yerushalayim Yerucham mitna'eret me'afaravin ivnet me'arisotel le'tifarta. Baruch Hashem, Yerushalayim is being rebuilt, but we're still not there yet. Ephraim Orbach has his nusach, Rav Goren has his nusach, Rav Re'em HaKohen has his nusach, Rav Chaim David Alevi, and my own Rebbe, Rav Lichtenstein Zecher Tzadik Levracha, said, well, all you got to do is make a small change. Rav Chaim David Alevi changed, my Rebbe just said, omit. Rav Chaim David Alevi said, instead of saying, the city is desolate, put it into past tense. The city that used to be desolate. Not ha'ir ha'avila ha'bzuya right now, but past tense. Shahaita, add one word. Don't change. V'hiyashva b'rosh ha'chafoy. My own Rebbe Rav Lichtenstein, he said, just omit the passages that are not relevant. Say the passages that are relevant and omit those that are not. So we have here 6 different versions of changing Nachim. Now, with the greatest respect I have, and this is my own minhag, I have to admit, as my own Rebbe did, I just pass over, quote-unquote, excuse the pun, but as you know, Tisha B'Av and Pesach come out the same day, so I pass over the passages that are no longer relevant, and just say the ones that are relevant. I have to admit that in the majority of Sidurim that I've checked, and I can't say I did a big mechkar on this, I didn't do an absolute study, but the sitters that I've picked up didn't really accept these suggestions. Interesting. So I want to give the other side of the coin that Bruce alluded to before as to why not. Yes?
In general, can we use this rule whenever we're davening? If it doesn't speak to us or feel...
In general, I think you have to drink a lot of water and consider it, maybe discuss it with someone.
I mean, on anything.
And yes, but in general... You have to be very careful on the one hand to change the sitter, because as Jonathan alluded to before, we don't exactly wipe out things just because we feel like it. And on the other hand, you have to be very careful not to lie. So that's the balance. But here, Baruch Hashem, great Rabbanim, came out and changed Nachim, because Baruch Hashem, not relevant. Well, majority of Sidurim didn't, so let's see why not.
Yeah. These Rabbanim they're from Eretz Yisrael. They live in Eretz Yisrael.
Uh-huh.
Maybe... For the people who don't live in Eretz Yisrael, they don't realize how things have changed.
A point. I think you're right. I think for many years I thought that way too. But today with the internet and whatnot, it's very hard for me to believe that people don't see what's happening here. I mean, they celebrate Yom Yerushalayim and they see what's happening. So let's just see the other side of the coin for a moment so that you understand why, in my opinion, why the majority of Sidurim did not change. First and foremost, because we don't change the Siddur. It's not something Orthodox Jews do. Second of all, Rav Avadji Yosef, who brought up this question, had 3 reasons why not. Number one, in the name of Rav Saadia Gaon, that Anshei Sekhtet HaGdola had Ruach HaKodesh. And they could foresee what's going to happen. And in their great mind, they put in these words, they must have known what they were doing. All right, as he says, שגם הנוסח של תפילת נחם מקובל בידינו מדורי דורות יסודתו בהרי קודש אלה רבותינו אנשי כנסת הגדולה. So who can be like אנשי כנסת הגדולה? We don't have רוח הקודש. Don't touch the sitter. Point number one. Agree, disagree. Point number one. Point number two, שגם לפי פשוטו, in his mind he says, it's פשוט. What does the words mean? שהוא הר ציון ששמם שואלים הלכו בו. It's not talking about Yerushalayim, the city. It's not talking about Gilo. It's not talking about, give me a name, Arnona, Rechavya. It's not talking about those parts. It's talking about Harabayit. Harabayit, unfortunately, is in the hands of the Waqf, and there's no Beis HaMikdash in it. That's what it's talking about. So if you see the words Ha'ir, we think Ha'ir in modern Hebrew means city. Just take out the word city. It really means Harabayit. That's what it means, as Ruth said earlier. And number three says, you think Yerushalayim is so great? Let's say it talks about the city. Spiritually, in Yerushalayim, he says, A, people are mechalel Shabbos. Two, people are dressing around, walking around not dressed modestly. Three, people are walking around and unfortunately not keeping kosher. And he goes on. He says, with due respect, I can still say we're in mourning because Yerushalayim did not reach the height that it used to be. For example, the Tosfos says that, why is it you would eat Maser Sheni, not on Harabayit, but you would eat it in the old city, on the bottom floor, because Aliyot Lo Nitkachu, you'd sit on the bottom floor, eat there your Korban Pesach, your Maser Sheni, etc. Why not eat it at home? The answer is, when you ate in Yerushalayim, you were filled with spirituality. All you saw around you was spirituality. All of a sudden, the meal became a religious experience. It wasn't like eating at home. Well, that's the case today when you eat a shawarma in Yerushalayim. You look around, you see people on their phone, they're cursing. You see people not driving carefully. You see people dishonest. Then you look on the news. If you're not sad enough, you listen to the news. Things are not wonderful spiritually. So these three reasons, Rabbi Avadya Yosef says, keep Nachim the way it is. Number one, Anshei Sekhna Gdola knew what they were doing. Number two, it's talking about Har Habayit. And number three, if you want to still stretch and say it's talking about the city of Yerushalayim, it's not great yet. Maybe in Har No, for Rabbi Avadya davened, it was great. When he walks outside, he sees it's not so great. Rav Soloveitchik, totally different world. This is not Israel. This is America. So Jonathan Rav Soloveitchik says, as quoted by Rav Shechter in Nefesh HaRav, and I'll just paraphrase it, you can see it inside, that indeed Yerushalayim is holy. How come Yerushalayim is holy? I'll bring up the question as I said it before. How come you can eat Maaser Sheni and Korban Pesach and all the Kachim Kalim in Yerushalayim? I understand Har Habayit is holy, but why is it that the house in the Jewish quarter that costs millions is holy? All I know is it costs millions. I'm sure the people living there are cursing the day they took a mortgage on it. Why is it so holy? So Rav Soloveitchik decided as follows. He says, Har Habayit is holy, and all the holiness of the rest of the Yerushalayim and of Israel comes from Har Habayit. It spills over. So if the base, the core, is not holy because there's still a golden mosque on Har Habayit, then the rest is not holy, in his words, that we still rip our shirts when we see Har Habayit. Shaita bekesher Yerushalayim b'torat mikzat mikdushat hamikdash sheba. Shekol zman she'en sham beit hamikdash banui kol ha'ir Yerushalayim dina kechareba. So like Rav Ovadia in his second reason, Yerushalayim, its kedusha emanates from Har Habayit. If on Har Habayit is no longer yet the Beis HaMikdash, all Yerushalayim is diminished in kedusha. If that's the case, we're still mourning as we used to do. So, Pshat of Nachem seems to say we have to either omit, we have to change, but you do have the other side of the coin, Rav Ovadia's three reasons, and Rav Soloveitchik. I just want to end with the following words, which you all alluded to before. And that is, well, anytime I feel something's irrelevant, I just, change it. I sit at home, I have a good New York mind here, I've been in Israel for 30 years, I don't like this. Change. Davening, I don't like talking about this anymore. I'll change. Well, I want to give you one example where someone changed, and then he changed his mind. And who was that? Rav Goren. Many a people say the nusach of Rav Goren's Nachem on Tisha B'Av. And I find it surprising every year, because see, I brought all the suggestions, and I understand all the rest of the suggestions for Rav Goren per se, he changed it, then he changed back. Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens. Tav Shin Kav Chet. Anyone want to translate that? 1968. Rav Goren's asked this question, and he said, already last year, I told people to change Nachem, and he didn't change it yet, he just said, and I quote, La'ashmit ta'emtza le'orat murash ha'chala ba'historia ha'yehudit im shikhura sh'Yerushalayim ve'yichuda. omit the middle. And that's what he did, he says, when he was at the Kotel on that famous day in 1967. And he did it on the following Tisha B'Av, and this is a year later. Now you understand Israel, 1968, everyone's head is 10 feet in the air. We won the Six-Day War. Every general is a kadosh. He can go to restaurants and not pay. No one would ask him or even think of asking him to pay. What we call in Hebrew, beautiful Hebrew word, aphoria. Beautiful Hebrew. This is modern Hebrew. Anyone want to translate that into English?
Euphoria.
Oh, nice. Now we're going to fast forward. Rav Gorin, many years later, he says, L'achar shekor harabayit, Six-Day War and whatnot, I thought, Zayom kivinu lo nagilo v'nispecha b'shuato, we're there. Nechazon kol adarot nitkashem. And indeed, not only did I say, like I said then, omit, I actually changed the Nachem. I brought you his nusach right up here. It says Rav Gorin, Olam odeh v'lo evosh. I have to admit, and I'm not embarrassed to admit, this is a great Rav, a great gadol that's able to admit his mistakes, and in writing. In other words, for posterity. He's saying, I made a mistake. So infallible is a different religion. In our religion, we have Masechet Torayot, talks about what happens when all the Sanhedrin makes a mistake, when the chief rabbi makes a mistake. No infallibility in our religion. Odev eloi vosh. Ki la'achar mechemet yom ha-kippurim ha'akub ha-midam, kishechala hidarderut musarit, moralit, ve'le'umit, ba'am uvam dina, ve'le'or ha-akara ba'am ha-palestini mitzidenu, ve'ha'knaot ha-nasot la'kan, likrat ha-zgarat chedek gadol me'eretz mechorotenu. Basically, Rav Gorin says, following the Six-Day War with euphoria, then it was the Yom Kippur War. You know what happened then. And then they started to give land for peace to the Palestinians. And morally and ethically, the Jewish people went downhill. Says Rav Gorin, you can say he's a grumpy old man, end of his life, but he's looking around at the reality. Eineni ro'eh siba lishanot tfusim kayamim. So Rav Gorin changed, but then he changed his mind back. And therefore I have to say, when you deal with this question of Nachem, caution. Don't just change a race as you feel fit. Discuss it, drink a lot of water, because here's a Rav Gorin, a Godel B'Yisroel above and beyond my comprehension, who says, and I'll translate, Eineni ro'eh siba, do not see a reason, l'shanot, to change, tfusim kayamim, what's printed right now in the Siddur. Simple Siddur, whatever it says, I say. Now, I just want to say, Rav Gorin davened Mincha of Tisha B'Av and Mincha on Yom Kippur in his yeshiva called Idra Rabba, looking at Har HaBayit, a special rule. And he had various minhagim as to what to do, because you're on almost Har HaBayit. You don't say Amen. You say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto Lo'olam Va'ed and many other things. Baruch Hashem Lo'olam Amen Va'amen. Imamish, he was there. He was literally touching the Beis HaMikdash. And despite it all, being the one that actually liberated in the Six-Day War, being the one that davened there on Tisha B'Av, and then you were a shanot fusim kayamim. So therefore I have to say, this is a question, I'm not saying that it's just fine, say the Nachem and forget it. It has to be work of the heart and not work of the Siddur. But, caution. Before you change things, caution. Don't let your modern, postmodern, American, Israeli, or any other nationality mind say, oh, if I think it has to be changed, then we're just going to change and no problem. I don't think Musaf is relevant. Let's omit Musaf. Kriya Satorah, no one learns from it anyway. It's in Hebrew and a sing-song. Off. Caution. Rav Gorin changed. He changed his mind back. So I say again, my own minhag is to omit those passages as my Rebbe Rav Lichtenstein did. But I fully see the other point of view, and I fully understand the need for caution on this question. Having said all of that, I have to be honest. This is a healthy debate that we should have every year, because we're taking the Siddur seriously, and we're taking what we say seriously. And if we don't take it seriously, we just say what it says, then I don't envy the people that afterwards have to go and convince their kids to come to davening because it's so important. If davening is just one big mockery, we're saying words and we don't care what we're saying. It's irrelevant, but we say it anyway. I don't envy the parents that have to convince the kids to come because they're saying this is Narishkeit. So it's a healthy debate. It's a healthy discussion as to what we're going to do afterwards, after we have the discussion. You saw various points of view. To change, not to change, how to explain it. But it's a very healthy discussion to have. Because this whole shir, if you have to remember anything from it, I want you to remember one word. pay attention. Pay attention to what you're saying. Pay attention to the sitter. Pay attention to reality and how reality, Baruch Hashem, has changed. And try to reconcile them. If not, all we're doing is the work of the sitter, not the work of the heart.